Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'd like to start out with an illustration that probably none of you are expecting that first may not seem like it has anything to do with Palm Sunday or Holy Week, but by the end of it, maybe it will. You'll see it. I'd like to start out with reminding you of a scene from Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and Luke going off after he survives the Wampa attack, splits off from his friends because he's got to go to Dagobah to find, as Obi-Wan Kenobi has told him, to find this great Jedi Master, Yoda. Luke doesn't know who Yoda is. Luke's never seen Yoda. He's expecting to come across some strong, impressive-looking fighter. He crash lands on the planet, and amidst the swamp and the muck and the base camp that he sets up, he doesn't find a big, strong fighter, big, strong master Jedi. He does find, or rather he's found by, some little scrawny hermit-looking green guy with big ears that talks backwards. Luke's annoyed. Like, get away from here, old man. I gotta find this guy. This is powerful Jedi master that I'm looking. And Yoda, after rifling through Luke's stuff, is like, oh, Yoda. You seek Yoda. Take him to you, I will. And Luke, all of a sudden, he changes. You know Yoda? Okay. Well, let's go. And then Yoda's like, well, first we got to go to my house. You say it this way, he says in Yoda speak, but that's all I can do is that first part. First we must go eat. Come, come, come. And so they go to his little hut to eat. And Luke is just, he's still, and I was like, all right, look, how long is it going to take to get to Yoda? Is he far away? And Yoda tells him, no, he is very close. And then, through the context of conversation and Yoda realizing that Luke is very, very green and not ready for training, it's at this moment that Luke realizes he's been with Yoda the whole time and he didn't recognize it because he didn't look like what he pictured in his head a Yoda should look like. Yoda should be tall and strong and carrying a lightsaber. Yoda's diminutive and walks with a cane, argues with robots. Now, why am I telling you all this? It's because this is Holy Week. This is Palm Sunday. And the king that everybody was expecting, well, they had him there the whole time, but the king as he comes was not the way they had expected. The glory that he came with was not the glory that they were seeking. It's interesting in this passage, or these two sections of John's account, everybody is seeking something. Everybody. They're just seeking it in the wrong ways or for the wrong reasons. The followers in the text that was read at the beginning of the service, these were the ones who had seen Jesus raise Lazarus. They sought Jesus. They sought Jesus' glory as an earthly king. Jesus, they could kick out the Romans. Except for that's not exactly how things were going to go. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. Save us now. That's what they yelled. They wanted to be saved from Rome, but Jesus had other plans. Contrast this with the authorities, the rulers of the synagogue at the end of our text. Well, they were seeking the glory that comes from men. They believed in Jesus. They just didn't want to tell anybody. Because if you tell people, especially the Pharisees, that you believe Jesus and believe in him, well, that means that you're going to get put out of the synagogue. And they cared more about the praise of men being in right standing with the guys around them, being looked at favorably by the people, than they did the Lord of glory. We've got Greeks seeking Jesus. We don't know for what purposes. John doesn't really tell us. But they want to see, they say they want to see Jesus. But they don't go to Jesus. They go to Philip. Now, Philip is a Hellenized name. It's a Greek-sounding name. And that was actually, his name was Philippos. He was from Bethsaida, which was populated by Jews, but also was very Hellenized, and there were many Greeks there, so maybe they thought to, oh, well, we'll go to the guy that looks and sounds like us, and maybe he can get us into Jesus a little bit better because we have that rapport with him. Notice, Philip doesn't even go directly to Jesus. He goes to Andrew. He seeks out Andrew, but he's supposed to go to Jesus. Then he and Andrew go together to seek Jesus. And say, hey, these Greeks want to talk to you. The other side of Jesus' words, we've got the crowd seeking the meaning of all these things. They hear the voice from heaven, and some don't even recognize it as a voice. They say, well, it thundered. Some say an angel has spoken to him. And in the middle of all of this, the chaos and the confusion and the questions, near the direct middle of our text, Jesus is seeking something. And very simply, he says, Father, glorify your name. See, Jesus was always seeking after the Father's glory. And here, it's starting to truly become apparent what that means. Father, glorify your name. See, Jesus says this knowing full well what's about to happen. Jesus knows. He even says it right before there. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. He knows what's about to happen, that he is going to die for the sins of all mankind. Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Jesus knows everything that's about to happen. Knows that these people are seeking him for the wrong reasons or in the wrong ways or for the wrong purposes or not seeking him at all. And yet, knowing all of this, he is willing to say, Father, glorify your name. See, Jesus was obedient and humble to the point of death, even death on a cross, because he knows two things in this text that we see. He sees that, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls onto the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You can't get wheat to grow unless you take the seed and you bury it in the ground. But if you bury it in the ground, then it springs forth with life and brings up grains of life. And Jesus knows that if he goes to the cross and is buried in the earth, that God will use that to bring forth life and faith and salvation for all of his people, that wheat will sprout forth from the earth in a spiritual sense. Jesus also knows that there's another agent at play, a passive agent here in this text that's seeking something, and that agent is Satan, who's seeking to take hold and to keep hold of this world, to keep people bound in sin. But Jesus knows that if he goes to the cross, that he will be raised up and raise all men to himself. And he tells us that now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. You see, it's God's glory to have his kingdom break into this sinful world, to take over what the devil has tried to take for himself, to bring life from death, to bring light to darkness, to bring glory to dishonor. And so Jesus hides himself from the people to prepare for this week, to prepare for the taunts, for the arrest, for the trial, for the beatings, the spitting, the whipping, the scourging, the nails, and the spear. All for you. Because he knows that if he dies, if he is obedient to his Father's glory, that the Father will show all of us mercy if we would just believe it. And so he goes to the cross, gives up his life, humbles himself to the point of death, as Philippians tells us, so that God the Father will exalt him, will vindicate him, will bring him back to life. But not just him. Not just that he will remain alone, but that he will have a whole harvest of people to be with him. That's the good news of Palm Sunday and of Holy Week and of Good Friday and Easter, is that Jesus does all of this for you to share in his glory and in his righteousness. So I ask you, what's the glory that you seek? Do you seek Jesus to fix all of your earthly problems here right now, like the people in the crowd? If that's all you're after, I'm sorry, you're going to be disappointed. There's still going to be trials in this world. There's still sickness and there's still death. If you're going to seek after the glory of men, well, that's going to fade and that's going to die. If you want to seek Jesus only when it looks like you, when the people around you look the same as you, well, then you're going to miss out. Because there's a whole host of people that Jesus has come to save and to make you a part of his kingdom with. Have you done it just to be convenient when it's convenient? Because the people around you think that it's a good thing to do. Well, there's judgment for that. But if you come to Jesus recognizing your need and your sinfulness and laying down all of the glory of men, laying down all of the weight that you carry with you, and if you come to Him for His glory and for His mercy and grace, have I got good news for you. You see, Jesus came for you for that purpose, so that you could have His glory, His righteousness, and be a part of His kingdom. That you might live in innocence, righteousness, and blessedness forever. And if you've been baptized, then you've already been buried with Him into death to sin, that you might be raised to walk in newness of life. And this is not your doing. It's the work of God. It's the glory of God for the peace of God. This week is going to look a little different at some points. It's going to look dark. It always happens. It's funny, we've been saying for the last 3 or 4 days, it's Holy Week, because you have no idea how many things have gone wrong in the last 4 days here. I tell you about it, but it's not the point, because evil is still trying. But we know who has the last word. We know because Easter is coming. Easter is coming, and it is already here in this place. Thanks be to God. Amen.